Now, friends, we come to the part of the service which we call the fencing of the table. It's not that we are really anxious to put up barriers. We believe that the fencing of the table is really done throughout the year in the preaching of the gospel. But it does help us a little bit at this time just to seek, with God's help, to clarify a few things. In order to do so, I want to just read a little bit from Romans and chapter 8. Romans and chapter 8, and just a verse there to help us to open this out a little bit. Romans 8 and verses 15 and 16. Romans 8, 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In the Old Testament, we read in that lovely passage in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. It speaks there of the promise, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And that is a promise to the Christian. That is what God will do, that he will give us a new heart and a new spirit. Now, it says in these two verses in Romans, and in Romans 8 and verse 15, we read, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to corruption. We have received a new spirit. If we are Christ, we have received the Spirit of God. He comes and makes his dwelling in the believer. Now, it emphasizes here a change. Not the spirit of bondage. Bondage means enslavement. Now, what was that spirit? The old spirit. It was the spirit in which every human being that comes into this world is enslaved. We are by nature sinners, by nature and by practice. And we are like the whole family, the whole human family, without exception. We are in that bondage. And it is a spirit of fear. It is always fear. We believe that God has put the knowledge of himself into every human being. The Bible teaches that in Romans chapter 1. A certain amount of the knowledge of God, even his eternal God, eternalness and his Godhood. He has planted that knowledge in every human being. Now that brings something with it. It brings a certain fear. The knowledge that there is a God, and the knowledge that that God will one day judge. This fear is the fear of judgment. It is not that spirit that we have received again, as it says here. But we receive the spirit of adoption. We are still in the family of the human race, but we have at the same time been adopted into another family, the family of God. And we have a new relationship with God, a father-child relationship. That God which we knew in no other way except in terms of fear, he is now in this new relationship where we are able to say, Abba, Father. Now that itself is a test for us. It is a test for every person who is in any doubt about their own standing with God. Do they have a relationship with God which is a father-child relationship? We pray the prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. We learned it from our earliest days in school. We had that prayer every morning. But we had no idea really what it meant. But here is that first thing about this new relationship. It is a father-child relationship. Able to say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, just as it's the same word in two different languages. Then in verse 16, we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit of God comes to dwell in us. And he witnesses within us that we are the children of God. Now the great question that we all have about this is, does that mean that I should hear his voice? That I should audibly, or some way like that, hear his voice? Well, it's not like that. But he witnesses by the effects of his presence. If he is there, if we have received that new spirit instead of the spirit of bondage to fear, we have received the spirit of adoption and we are in the family of God and able to say, Abba, Father. Then the Spirit of God witnesses within us not by a voice but by the effects of his presence. There is, of course, the new freedom, being redeemed. But there are also this very important thing of new affections, new inclinations, things new. We have, for one thing, before God, self-justification has gone. It's off the menu completely. There was always that little bit of self-righteousness in us. It's just innate in man, man's pride. We might have thought, well, we were doing quite well as far as God was concerned. We would say maybe better than many others. But no, all these thoughts are gone. You don't want them. You want them far, far away from you. You want your affections turned another way. Away from all these old things to the things of God, to His Word, to His people, to His day, to His law. All these things become the drawing things in your life. The other side has lost its pull. The world and all that's in it. Now there is this new pull, pulling us towards the things of God. And we have a wrestling inside us. Because that spirit is there, he evidences himself in wrestling against indwelling sin. Then there is love of the brethren. All new things. Things which every believer experiences. And these things are the Spirit of God witnessing with your spirit that you are a child of God. Enabled wonderfully to lovingly say, Abba, Father. Let us now sing in Psalm 118 and as we sing, the office bearers will bring the elements in and the presenters will sing until the elements are on the table. So, Psalm 118, singing from verse 15. In dwellings of the righteous, the third, the melody of joy and health. The Lord's right hand doth ever valiantly. The right hand of the mighty Lord exalted is on high. The right hand of the mighty Lord doth ever valiantly. We shall sing until everybody, till the elements are on the table. Dwellings of the righteous has heard the melody of joy and health. still have to come to the table, please come forward, and the presenters will continue to sing until everybody is seated at the table.
Oh, say ye. Wherefore, my brethren,
when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together into condemnation. And the rest of the setting of it, when I come. Those are four Lord's example and our gracious and our blessed God, we thank thee for these symbols before us this day. And we acknowledge that they are symbols and that they have no salvation in them in themselves, but that they speak of the great salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, he was broken in his body, crucified, his blood was shed, and he died on the cross of shame. Oh Lord, we pray, you might see beyond these symbols to the Lord himself. Grant that we would discern the Lord's body. Grant also that they would make this sacrament a means of steadying us, a means of clarifying your vision, a means of making the road ahead clearer to us, means strengthening us in our faith. Wilt thou watch over us now? Grant us, Lord, a sense of reverence, a sense of fear, and at the same time, a great gladness of heart. The Lord hath done it all for us. Forgive our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. We shall read in the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. The book of Ruth. The eyes to see, and that is that the hand of God was in our lives, keeping us, steering us, even long before we came to any knowledge of Him. Now, she would see, surely, that the way things turned out for Naomi and Elimelech, after going down with her two sons into war, these things had a tragic side to them. That it was, of course, a disobedience. Yet she would see for herself, she was brought into that family. And if she hadn't been, she would not have tasted of the things of true religion, which, whatever we may say about Ruth and Naomi and Elimelech, her husband, one thing is sure, they showed a good witness, and a witness which deeply affected Ruth. And in verse 8,
reach the care of Boaz for in sorry chapter 2 verse 8. The care of Boaz for Ruth. Took her under his wing and he provided for her. Then he says to her in chapter 2 and verse 8, says, go not to grave in any other field. Was a type of Christ. He was, as the book of Simmons called, a kinsman redeemer, as the Lord Jesus Christ was. He took our kin, he became one of our kin, and he was our redeemer. What is that in Ruth? And he had circumcised her life. He didn't say to her, no, just do, enjoy yourself, go anywhere you like, and you'll find feeding for yourself, where you need it, and there's feeding here, anytime you need. No, he didn't say that. He circumscribed, he put boundaries on her life. Go not to glean in any other field. And we are all gleaners. We all gather things, collect things over our lives. From doing our daily work, we are doing a certain amount of gather. What Boaz is saying to us is, don't glean in any other field but mine. And that's what the Lord's will is for us. And you should not glean in any other field but his. What's the Lord's field of gleaning? Well, it is many signs. But chiefly, of course, it is his word. But it is also his people. So even the Song of Solomon, that lovely phrase, in the footsteps of the flock. You want to be with the Lord, be found in the footsteps of the flock. There is also the ordinances of God's house. Yesterday. And there is the brethren generally. Love of the brethren. These are all things that circumscribe, draw a line around the life of the believer. And it's not and should not be a case. And we keep asking like the children, just be tired of the question, is it against God's law to do this? Or is it against God's law to do that? We should be beyond that. And our aim should be to stay within the Lord's field. Not to glean in the world. Not to still be scratching what we can get out of it. To glean in the Lord's field. And to take the provision which he has made for us. Boaz made particular provisions for Ruth. He ensured that his workmen left sufficient in the field for her to have plenty. Sometimes they were to leave handfuls of flowers, special blessings, all within that field. We want to walk with the Lord. We want the Lord to be pleased with us. Of course we do. Well, his command is, his desire is, his delight is for us, that we would walk, not defiled, gleaning in any other field except his.
Lord Jesus, sin and which was prepared, he took bread, where the thanks, he broke it, and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This too, in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup after he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Take it as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he let us just for a moment think of a few words we have in Hebrews in chapter 7 and verses 26 and 27. Hebrews 7, 26, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners, and higher than the heavens. We need it not daily as those high priests who offer up sacrifice, first for himself, for his own sins, and then for people's. For this he did once, and he offered up himself. Now, particularly these words, such a high priest became us. Of course, it's an old fashioned use of the word became or becoming. Sometimes, more time passed perhaps than today, if the parent did not like the way the daughter was dressing, she might say, well, that's not becoming. Meaning, that's not suitable. That's what's here. For such an high priest became us, he was suitable. He was fitting for us. That's the question for us, really, isn't it? Is he suitable? Is he becoming for us? Is he our great high priest who is perfect in all that he is and in all that he did? Is he for us the suitable one? The one that I need. The one who did all for me. The one who left nothing undone. The one whose sacrifice did not need to be repeated, as the Old Testament. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Put an end to sacrifices. Because what he offered was sufficient. Is he suitable for our requirements? Do we see him as it were, to use a common term, will you say, he's just tailor made for me? I hope so. Because that means that we know what our needs are and that he has satisfied them all, utterly and completely. May the Lord bless you, these few thoughts.